her department. Thank you, Madam Secretary, and welcome.
Thank you, and I appreciate the time, and I really admire the work that the council has done. But while we're bringing this up, I really want to say congratulations. Oh, he's gone. See, transportation comes up, and people just leave. Mike Gizzo, just a phenomenal engineer and an extreme gentleman, and him and I go way back to some water and wastewater projects here in Sussex County. And, you know, when he said he was retiring, I turned around and I was like, what? I never thought that would happen, so all the best to him and his family. And I do have some of my team with me. Nicole Majeski, my deputy secretary, Drew Boyce, my director of planning, and Shante Hastings, deputy director of transportation solutions, and Jim Westhoff, our communications officer. So what I wanted to do is just take a few minutes and kind of go over some things that are going on in the department and then focusing on what we're doing here in Sussex County. And then we're going to talk a little bit about transportation improvement district. So with that, I will jump right into the presentation. I thought it important to kind of put our motto right out in front, which is excellence in transportation, every trip, every mode, every dollar, everyone. And every mode is extremely important down here in Sussex County, especially Western Sussex County. And some of our mission statements and goals: building and maintaining a nationally recognized system benefiting travelers and commerce, and ensuring environmental impacts are mitigated, and customer service, which is a huge push and something that's near and dear to my heart, are some of the highlights. And I really wanted to give you kind of a Transportation Trust Fund 101 review. So this is our pot of funding for fiscal year 2016, $857 million, and this is the sources of those funds. As you can see, the big chunk of that is federal funding. We are a very lucky state. For prorated, we actually get more federal dollars than any of our surrounding states and pretty much any state in the country, because the state actually maintains the majority of the roads in the state. DMV revenues are at 23% at $196 million. With motor fuel tax being at about 120, those of you guys who remember back a while, the motor fuel tax used to be the biggest chunk of revenue coming into the Transportation Trust Fund. But with vehicle miles traveled being flat, that is a stagnant revenue source. So we need to come up with something creative, looking into the future, whether it's a mileage-based user fee or something other than that. There's just zero elasticity built into the fuel tax revenue stream. And then the other big chunk is tolls, which is I-95 and SR1 tolls. I just thought it really important for you guys to see kind of the overall look at the Transportation Trust Fund. Now, to dive into our revenues just a little bit more, you can see the green line on the graph that indicates DMV revenues, which also now includes the revenue package that we just passed, which increased various DMV fees. One of the things, again, highlight the blue line, which is the motor fuel tax. You can see actually it's stagnation and actual a little bit of a decrease. And we have had a recent bump in an increase in fuel sales because fuel prices are low. But when fuel prices return and they start growing again, the vehicle miles traveled will be reduced. So I just wanted to show you the revenue streams and their trajectories. So with all of that money, what are we spending $857 million on? I figure you might want to see that as well. So federal capital dollars, 31%. And if you look, our goal is, you see 31 and 22% state capital and federal capital. Our goal is to have that portion of the pie spent more on capital than any other source. We're making a lot of progress on that. Majorly, one of the good things that we have done is we've reduced our overall debt service. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But we've also been able to reduce our operating costs because we know that every operating dollar that we save goes into the capital program. So again, that pie, we want to see more of that pie designated to the capital program. So again, our operating budget, I think this is worth highlighting as well, because we are the only state agency that has reduced its overall operating cost by about 4% over the last several years. That's kind of unheard of in state government. But again, we're committed to finding as many operating efficiencies as we can to ensure that every dollar we save on the operating goes into actual capital program. And that's even with two very significant years of snow events. To put it in perspective, last year's we spent about $14 million on snow removal, and the year prior to that we spent about $17 million. And again, historically, if you look at the snowstorm contingency account, we used to be budgeted at $3.7 million, and historically we're spending almost four times that. So in fiscal year, I can't even read that.
When did we?
Yeah, 15. We actually level set that and turned and actually put a $10 million placeholder in there. And keep in mind, too, something that should be important to you guys is it's not just a snowstorm. It's not just plowing snow. It is if we have a hurricane or any significant storm event, the funds come out of that contingency line. But, you know, I'm very proud of my team for being able to be very fiscally responsible with our operating dollars. So some of the things that we've done to be able to pull that off is we've actually reduced our overall debt service. We were at almost $1.3 billion in debt at one point, which is, in my opinion, ridiculous for a state as small as ours. So much to my predecessor's credit, we actually stopped borrowing and put the kind of, I say, ultimatum out that, you know, we would continue to borrow, but only against new revenue sources. So that was actually, by not borrowing, it allowed us to put $32 million into our capital program while still keeping our investment-grade bond rating. The A2, that is the highest bond rating that we could get as a revenue-generating state agency. So you also have probably heard that there is some unrest at the federal level with a transportation trust fund on the federal side. We are on our, 37th extension, I think it is, at this point. So there's a little bit of kind of uneasiness there. So a couple of years ago, what we did is we secured a line of credit. And the reason why we did that is if Congress couldn't make up their mind and they didn't put another extension in, or we went for a stretch of time where we wouldn't be able to continue projects in construction, then we would have this line of credit to use if that happened. We haven't had to use it yet, but it has been something that, you know, is a cushion if we need to use it. I'm hoping Congress will act and not continue to kick the can down the road, but we are prepared if they do, because I'm sure you all know stopping construction and the MOT and you know, the mobilization that's involved in starting and stopping is not something we want to do. We've also consolidated some of our IT needs with the State Department of Technology and Information, saving us about $800,000. DMV, best DMV in the country. We've expanded customer service, doing much more things online as our customers require and need. DTC, partnering with some nonprofit organizations. You guys know the demand for our transit and paratransit service is huge. And we also have some issues. We wanted to make sure that we could take as many trips that aren't needed to be on our paratransit system away from it. So we've partnered with Easter Seals, and we've partnered with CHEER so that they can start taking on some of those trips on our behalf, which has been it's been a win-win for both the department and the nonprofit agencies. Workers' compensation program, we worked with DTC on putting them back into the state workers' compensation system, saving about $2 million. We've done a ton of facility improvements. We're sticking with our project prioritization list to ensure that the projects that do move forward are the ones that should, can, and are feasibly responsible to move forward. And in our continuing focus on performance management. And I will tell you, we are one of the only state agencies that are actually delving this deep into our organization to make sure that we're being fiscally responsible. And one of the things that's near and dear to my heart as well is that we need to get away from building things the way we've always built them and staying within, you know, the same things we've always done. So we are looking at some innovative ways, e-construction. We're going to be able to have tablets in the field so our engineers and our inspectors can do things real time and not with a clipboard, and they go back and they have to manually enter that. So that's going to save time, money, and make us much more accurate. Auxiliary lien on SR1, everybody knows we need to, in Newcastle County, we need to expand SR1 and widen it. That's a $100 million project. We can't sit and wait for $100 million to fall out of the sky. So what we need to do is be very specific about some of the things that we're doing. So between 40 and 896, did I get that right? 40 and 273. That's why I got the engineers. That's a huge backlog several times a day. So what we're going to do is beef up that shoulder and create an auxiliary turn lane so we can alleviate some of that bumper cars, as I call it. They don't like it when I say that. So some of the other things that we're doing also is a divergent diamond interchange. We haven't done anything like that in Delaware before. It's been very successful in other states and around the globe, but we're looking at piloting that on Route 1 and 72. Some accelerated bridge construction, some high-friction surface treatments so that the surface treatments that we use in certain high action areas or turns will last longer. Electronic plan submissions for developers to make that process much more seamless, more efficient, and more accurate. DMV on the go. This actually, we're going to look to maybe even launch this in Sussex County because there are certain areas, whether it's a community center, whether it's a senior center, that they necessarily can't get to the DMV. It's going to be a mobile DMV that we can actually bring to the community that they can have any DMV service that they want. Snowplow tracker, we're looking to launch that this winter. So one of the big things we get is, you know, when is the snowplow coming? You haven't plowed my road. If you download our Dell.app app, council members, do you have? Have you downloaded our Dell.app app?
I don't know.
I think we actually
have it on our iPads here.
So that will be available coming this winter, so you can actually see where the snowplows are, where they've been, and where they're going. And then real-time bus information on all of our DTC buses, we have that up and running, and we're looking to do more of that and more social media and community outreach. So these are some of the things that, you know, we're working on and working very quickly on. We talked a little bit about the Delaware Transit Corporation. We've been working for the last several years on transit redesign, expanding our fixed route services, flex bus services here in Sussex County in the Millsboro-Seaford area. There was a ton of demand there that wasn't being met. We launched the flex earlier this year, and it's been tremendously successful, so we're looking to do more of that, especially for our Hispanic population who didn't really have any options at that point. So that's working very well. On-time performance, that's something that I'm proud to say DTC has made tremendous efforts, and I think we're right around 95, down from less than 80. And that's one of the performance metrics that the Federal Transit Agency looks at us before they give us money. So we need to make sure that our on-time performance is as good as it possibly can be. And again, we talked about coordinating transportation with Easter Seals, Delaride, and Cheer. So we're looking to do more of that. We also are working with ITN, the senior rideshare program down here, which has been really exciting to work on. We're looking to launch that in the fall with them as well. So now our capital budget. We did get our revenue package passed. HB 140 increased various different DMV fees. We were very careful to choose DMV fees that were not reoccurring expenses, that were avoidable if possible, duplicates, temporaries, things that, you know, the doc fee increase went from 3.75 to 4.25. Citizens have the ability to choose what kind of vehicle they buy and whether or not they finance that into their financing mechanism. So we were very careful to make sure that the fees that we were putting forth were not going to be overly burdensome to Delaware citizens. We're also increasing some oversized overweight permits, some of which haven't been increased since before I was born. So we know that those heavy vehicles really are one of the, you know, perpetrators of tearing up our roads, so we want to make sure that they also pay their fair share. And then one of the things that I'm sure you guys read about is there was a big push to start moving some of DelDOT's operating costs back into the general fund, because we can do all of our efficiencies and save all the money we want on our operating costs, but it's still a big chunk of money. So a good faith effort was put into place this past fiscal year to move $5 million from our operating costs back into the general fund. And we've had some preliminary meetings with OMB about, you know, continuing that into the future. So I know at a minimum next year we'll also, that $5 million will continue. So we're pretty happy about that. We also received an additional authority to borrow. And again, our rule was we were not going to borrow any additional funds without new revenue source, because that would be irresponsible to do. So if you combine all of that and you combine the SR1 toll increase that we put in place last year for weekends, we were looking at about $390 million into our transportation trust fund over the next 6 years. So what does that mean? What did we do with the revenue that we just received? Well, we really wanted to focus, and I'm sure you guys are happy to hear this, on the state of good repair. We added another $45 million to our paving program, which almost doubled the program, added another $5 million for bridge preservation, and increased the community transportation funds to 16.7, and municipal street aid from $3 million to $5 million, and then the rest went to the delayed capital projects. So some of the new projects that are in the current 17 through 22 proposal, which I think there's a public hearing starting the 24th, so for Sussex County. SR1 to the new road connector, SR1 to Cave Neck Road, grade separation intersection. There's some preliminary engineering scheduled for fiscal year 19 on that. Realignment of, I don't even know, S269A. Okay. That's why I have these guys. Yeah, there you go. And North Millsboro Bypass from 113 to SR24. All those are included for public comment in our proposed 17 through 22 CTP. There you go. CTP hearing scheduled for September 24th in DelDOT Admin Building in Georgetown. Hopefully some of you can make it. Our CTP hearings throughout the state have been very well attended, which is good. We're getting some really good feedback. So one of the things that I hear over and over and over again, and I've heard since I, you know, took this post in February, is you don't spend any money in Sussex County. You spend all your money in Newcastle County. So I'm here to tell you that that is not true, and I wanted to actually you to see the slide and for the public to see the slide on the projects from 16 to 22 by year. And if you notice, starting in fiscal year 19 through 22, that doesn't even include, you know, the bridge and paving projects that we have planned for the county. So I really wanted you to see that. And I also, and I shared this with the council members before, but I also am happy to share again and share with the public and the press the actual breakdown of what those projects are and where they're located and the dollar amounts associated with them, so we can hand that out. So we don't have to go through all of those, but, you know, there's 50 projects in process now. All right, so that's kind of the 101 where we're at and what we're doing in Sussex County. We can take questions on that now, or we can go right into the transportation improvement districts. What's the pleasure of the council?
Any questions, council?
Yeah, I'll just ask.
Mr. Cole has one more small question.
you showed it was like that last slide about how much you were spending in Sussex County. Mm-hmm. The 64. No, go back to the one before that. It was 64 million in 16. How about the other two counties? What are they getting spent? I mean, just to get compare the.
I don't have that with me. Okay. We can get that for you.
Well, I was just curious. I mean, you know.
Still not enough for you, sir?
No. Well, I'd like to know what they're getting. I mean, compared to what we're getting. So sometimes I can get a better picture.
Understood.
Perhaps as a percent. That might work.
Or whatever. Sure. Yeah, just I was just curious. Okay, I thought maybe somebody knew.
Mm-hmm. We can get that to you. No problem.
I have a question.
Mr. Deaver.
This is first. It's not. I don't remember the secretary coming to us before and going through all this before. So thank you very much.
Welcome.
More questions to council? If not, we'll right along.
Okay. So one of the things that, you know, we've been focusing on as a department, especially for here in Sussex County, is we really need a comprehensive look at transportation, traffic flow, development, and it's throughout the state, but we really need to focus here in Sussex County. And one of the tools in our toolbox to do this is something called transportation improvement districts. We passed legislation to be able to do this. And we really, I can't encourage you guys enough to, and hopefully you'll work with us and you find that this is a tool that will be beneficial for both the council and the state. And we're looking really forward to kind of going over this with you and hopefully going down this road, if not, you know, one TID, maybe even multiple TIDs. So with that, I have my TID expert, Ms. Nicole Majeski, is kind of going to go over what it is, where it's worked in Delaware already, and what it would mean to you guys.
Thank you very much. Again, I'm Nicole Majeski. I'm the Deputy Secretary for the department. I know that you have seen some of this information before, the concept of transportation improvement districts, but as the Secretary said, this is one of the tools that we developed as we were, you know, the concept of a TID has been kind of in our system for some time, but when we did the revision of our subdivision manual about a year or so ago, we kind of re-looked at the TID process, and we figured that this was something that we needed to kind of help with long-range planning to really provide a lot more certainty in our process, not just for the development community, but also for the residents that live in areas that are being developed, and then obviously to encourage economic development. So, again, the purpose of a transportation improvement district is really to coordinate the land use aspect of things with the transportation in a specific geographical area and to really ensure that those transportation improvements that we identify in that area actually occur as development happens. And so how do we do this, really? It's completely voluntary. The idea of if you want to create a TID, any local government that is interested, whether it's the county, town, municipality, any local land use agency, they come to DLDOT and say, okay, let's work together to identify a geographical area that we want to focus on solely, and say, okay, so typically we see these in levels 1, 2, and 3 that are identified in the state strategies area, but again, we work together to identify this area. We determine what the boundaries should be. We determine kind of what do we want the future in this area to look like. We take a look at the current zoning in that area, and we say, okay, based on the current zoning, is this what the county or the town wants to see in this area? And then what do we want? You know, what does success look like? What is the level of service that we want to see here from a transportation perspective. So we do that, and as we've identified this geographical area and we determine the boundaries and we say, okay, based on the zoning that is currently there, we look to see, are there any proposed developments in this area? And then what could potentially be developed in this area? And then as a Department of Transportation, we then take on and we do the traffic impact study for that entire area to determine, okay, if development were to occur here, here's the transportation improvements that would be needed in that area to accommodate that development. And we work, again, hand-in-hand with the local land use agencies to determine that. Once we've identified, here's all the transportation improvements that would be needed for development to occur, then we determine what the cost of those improvements would be. And so how does it end up, how do those improvements end up happening? As people want to come into that transportation improvement district and develop there, the developers then are assessed their share of the costs so that they're contributing to the improvements. There are cases where the developer may want to actually do the improvements themselves as opposed to paying for it, but essentially the improvements happen because they then come online into our capital program. So that we're ensuring that, you know, as this area is being developed, that we're working with our CTP to make sure that the improvements are going to be there as the development comes online, and so that it provides certainty. So really, it's, you know, you've identified this area. You say, this is where we want to encourage economic development to come. We want to encourage development to happen here. And if development does happen, these are the improvements that are going to be needed. So those individuals that may live in a TID or near a TID, they know that if it's going to be developed, these are all the improvements that are going to be needed. So there's certainty kind of a developer or a company that wants to come in. They say, okay, this is the improvements that would be needed on our part. And then also for the people that are living there to say, okay, these are the improvements that would have to be made in order for that development to occur. So do we have any TIDs now? Probably our most successful TID is in Middletown, in the Westtown area. That's one that's been established for a few years now. Again, we worked hand-in-hand with the town of Middletown and the developers that were in that area. We've seen some big successes with Amazon and Johnson Controls choosing to relocate there. I think one of the big reasons that they chose to do that was because we had identified an area, we knew what improvements needed to occur there, we had improvements already scheduled to happen within our process, and so it was very appealing for businesses to want to come there because there was that certainty. You know, as somebody that lives in Middletown, I can tell you that, you know, we all know that it's a TID. We know that the business may be attracted here, but we know that the traffic improvements are already in place, or that they would be in place if it's going to be developed. Two other, we don't know if we want to call them TIDs, but two kind of study areas that we also have in New Castle County are the Route 40 area and Churchman's Crossing. We've done a lot of studies there. We have a lot of improvements identified within our CTP. So they've kind of been like quasi-TIDs for us. The other one that we do have about to come online is we've been working with the city of Dover over the past year to identify a TID along 13. So that will be our next one coming online here very shortly. And so as I said before, the benefits for creating the TID, essentially it's coordinating our land use and transportation needs within a certain area. It provides that certainty in the development process, not only for the developers, for the people that are in the area. And then lastly, you know, it encourages economic development. So that is a very basic overview. You know, as I said, I know our planning folks have met with you before and with some of your planning staff, and so we are always open to continue that conversation if there is any interest in working together on this.
Have you identified areas in Sussex County that could be TIDs?
I'm gonna look to Drew Boyce.
Got to that point?
Well, we
you better come to
the mic.
You're on the record.
The
you got to be in the mic.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we are basically, as Nicole said, it's a
identify yourself.
Drew Boyce, Director of Planning, Del Dot. As Nicole said, this The program is set up for the land use agency to engage DLDOT on the initiative. So we are the area would be identified basically if you say TIDs might be good for Sussex County, then DLDOT planning staff, county planning staff would get together to try to identify the best location for a transportation improvement district. The areas that are more ripe for this application are areas that are maybe a little bit more greenfield or are ready for redevelopment, where we have an opportunity to kind of envision what that area might grow up to be and then make the appropriate planning efforts to determine what infrastructure is needed, not only the transportation infrastructure, but also what the county might support as far as sewer and water and other type of infrastructure that's going to be needed to support that area. So it's more of a comprehensive approach. So to answer your point more directly, no, we don't have any specifically, but we are ready to start the dialogue to see where in Sussex County might be the most appropriate, and then possibly come up with a couple of alternatives, kind of weigh the pluses and minuses of those, and then continue the dialogue.
Okay. I guess. Okay.
Well, the upshot is that you're talking about advice, but I don't. How concrete are you? How serious is? Excuse me.
Speak into your mic. Speak
into your mic.
How serious is this whole thing? Are we just talking about plans and possibly working together and may or may not happen? How serious is this? You're talking about law. What are you talking about?
Okay.
We are extremely serious about this, which is why we're here making this pitch to you now.
Right.
We think that this is part, we have a lot of challenges down here. We're not going to, and we got into these challenges together, both of us together. And I think this is a tool that we need down here. Mm-hmm. The land use decisions, we've got to bridge that gap, and we've got to do it together. And if we have a TID, it's us working together. You get us on the hook, making sure that the capital improvements are there, and we fund our share of it. The developer funds their share. If this is something you're interested in pursuing, we'd be happy to make recommendations to the council on what we think and what areas that we think would be prime for this.
Mm-hmm. That was what I was leading up to. I was trying to, if you're going to wait for us, you're the experts in the transportation problems. And it would be better for you to, you know, with your expertise to say, you know, here would be a great spot to do a TID because we see your land use plan is encouraging development, except and the infrastructure right now, traffic infrastructure, is not working or something, and we could make some improvements. So, yeah, I'd rather see some, as opposed to us trying to identify where the traffic problems are, because I'm not the traffic expert.
My only point was to emphasize the partnership. The way that this program works is it's really a partnership between the land use agency and the transportation agency.
A new day has dawned in Sussex County. We're
going to work together.
Good news. Good news.
So if I'm hearing from the council, and I don't know the formality and the logistics of, you know, your orders, or if I'm hearing that transportation improvement district is something that the council is interested in and is directing the department to go back and make recommendations, if that's what we're hearing, then if we could formalize
that
somehow.
Consensus? I would just say I would rather have them give us, identify some areas that you think, and then the discussion should start there from maybe our staff, because again, you have the expertise in the traffic issues. Yeah, sure. When it comes to water and sewer, we can help you there. But
I'm Lewis. Oh. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Midway area, Lewis. Definitely would like to see a TID there, in that area, definitely.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, it seemed like here in the middle of the county, on the west side, it might be forgotten pretty easy. It's actually, we still exist, and actually we are number one producing the most money, agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the tourists have moved in on us and ran down 113 here, that stop, and we have done nothing to improve that, only made it worse. We have got stoplights starting here at the new police station. We stop at Burton's, and then we stop up here to 9, then we come on up here to 404. Then now we added one more here, we stop again. Now, how would you like to be a truck driver? How would you like to be this company that's saying our poultry that's been dressed are coming in back and stop these humongous trucks that weighs 80,000 pounds, back and forth, just stop. Now, Route 1, it doesn't, that's no big deal there. It's all small traffic. They can stop every 50 feet. Who cares? There are tourists. They got plenty of time anyhow. But we need to take care of number one, agriculture. Number one. And we're allowing that to become number one. And that's all I see is overhead bridges and everything else is on number one. Here, 113 and 13 is forgotten about, seems like. And even our back highways, some seem like they're forgotten about. It's just some things that I said that I think we need to look at 113, because I can't even get on the highway, alone have trucks out here. It comes almost every day of the week, especially during the summer. I don't know how we're going to exist in agriculture. Then we say, well, we don't want agriculture land zoned. Well, it seems like we're taking, tourists is taking over.
Mr. Arlett, do you have?
Yes, Mr. Comment? President, if I may. Madam Secretary, first and foremost, I want to thank you all for being here. I recall when we first met back in Bethany a few months ago, I mentioned to you that the biggest communications that we receive as council, of course, are complaints and concerns as it relates to the infrastructure and the traffic. And I know we had offered a suggestion of working together and better communicate with each other, and here you are. So I will first and foremost commend you, because I think it's really important. I really do. We've always had the need to be in better communication with the state agencies, and you're here today. So I totally respect you for your efforts in trying to bridge this gap of communication. We have to work together. We are charged to make land use decisions. You're obviously are the solution guys on the traffic issue and the infrastructure. So that's number one. Number two, I do have a couple of questions, I mean, in general. And we talked about this, and this is nothing new, and I know that there's some legislation that had passed. You know, I've been pretty vocal about, and not you. Of course, you are told what to do by those that are out of Dover and the legislature, and I know that. So, but we have a history of stealing dollars out of the Transportation Trust Fund to balance the budget. And I'll use that term. But in your number of $856 million, does that include or does not include this last $40 million that was stolen to balance their budget? That's a question number one.
Sure. Okay, well, let's break that down a little bit, because I actually agree with you, and we did make some progress right. with some reforms in that area. First of all, the $40 million, which I'm assuming you were referring to the Escheat dollars. Okay, the Escheat dollars they've never been pledged to the Transportation Trust Fund. Okay, it's a one-time abandoned property. If there's some left over, then the Transportation Trust Fund usually got like $40 million. It didn't work for us. Well, of course, we took it because we could do one-time capital projects with it, but you can't do a long-term capital transportation plan based on dollars that you don't know are going to be there. So that they just reallocated it, which did hurt us. But again, I would rather have the certainty of a long-term funding solution than a here $40 million here, and then 3 years later I'll give you another $40 million. Again, I'm not complaining. We took it, we used it, sure. But you know, for sustainability purposes, you know, we needed the certainty. There was some reforms that were put in place this last general session, Senate Bill 166 and Senate Bill 167. Both of those created a lockbox for the Transportation Trust Fund, one specifically for the new revenues with HB 140, basically that they cannot be used for anything other than transportation-related purposes. And we all did a woo-hoo. That's the best thing we've ever heard. So we were really happy to see that. And then the other bill was the same thing, but it was the first leg of a constitutional amendment, which would put that in place permanently. Unless somebody else did another constitutional amendment, of course. But a constitutional amendment in Delaware requires two separate votes of two separate general assemblies. So that's why both bills were passed. So I am confident that the message has been received loud and clear, that Transportation Trust Fund is not to be looked at as a general fund budget gap saver, for lack of a better term.
And so I just appreciate that, because I think it has been, in my you know, opinion, it's been irresponsible for years, you know, stealing the transportation dollars, infrastructure dollars to balance bad decisions. And I think that's, so I commend you for that. Another question I have is budgeting. Is I know that, you know, as you already know, a lot of people have the perception that Sussex County, quote unquote, does not get our fair share of dollars as it relates to the infrastructure. I don't know if it's true or not, because I don't know. I have not seen those numbers. But when it comes to the budgeting of the projects, how do you determine that? Is it the squeaky wheel, or is it truly this is what the counties bring in to us, and this is what they get back? I mean, what is the method there?
So, and that's an excellent question, too, because Historically, I think it probably was the squeaky wheel. Whoever was the loudest, their project rose to the top. But that is why we put a project prioritization process in place that is based on technical scores. It is based on, of course, fundability and feasibility, and that is what we are basing it on. It has really ruffled some feathers, but it is something that we need to stick to ensure that, I mean, that's one of our efficiencies, is to make sure that the projects that do go are the most needed in the state. And with our 17 through 22 CTP, we had a brand new number one coming in. So we do, and we take it in from the MPOs and from Sussex County, which you guys know we work closely with Todd on, is saying, what are your priorities? We go through a public process. The Council on Transportation reviews the plan. There's a lot of hurdles to it. So I think those days are over. I think there's still probably some perception out there, but our stick-to-itness on the project prioritization is something that we're going to plan on doing and continuing. So I think continuing that is going to be the only way we actually get more credibility on what projects go out the door.
Okay. Then one last question, if I may, Mr. President.
Certainly.
And that is the... getting back to land use decisions, and we select and vote on various projects, be it new communities, be it whatever the case may be. So the perception is, again, from the residents, from the community, if you would, that the developers don't always pay their quote unquote fair share. I know that was inside of your slide. How do you determine what that is? Because we're not involved in that, as you know, as it relates to what the developers pay, what they don't pay. And that's between you and whoever,
right?
And we have nothing to do with that. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Actually, I'm gonna yield it to Drew, but I want to say, we hear a lot, and I think the residents, and not just of Sussex County, land use decisions, traffic, the perception is we're doing this. And that's got to stop. There's plenty of blame all over the place. So we just need to really show a united front going forward, whether it's with a TID, whether it's even just regular meetings. Mm-hmm. It's not DLDOT against the counties. We really need to work together. And sure. We're going to need your help on that partnership and really raising that and elevating that. We're in a weird spot because we get a lot of heat from the developer saying you're overcharging me, and then we get the community saying you're not charging them enough. So there actually is logic applied to the process, which I will have Mr. Boyce explain.
So our subdivision process is governed by our the authority that's given to us by our regulation. So it's a regulation that is basically codified in the Office of Regulations. It establishes a process where we assess the impacts of a proposal on the transportation system. And so that process the definitions within our code allow us to go out a certain distance and examine the impacts. We can't go on forever. So the scope of that that impact assessment is defined by our regulation. We look at where there may be deficiencies, either existing or caused by that particular land use proposal. And then through our traffic impact study review letter, we make recommendations to the council to say if this proposal is approved, then these are the traffic impacts mm-hmm. that should be assessed to the to that proposal. So really what we're asking is that the developer mitigate the impacts that they're having to the transportation system.
So, in other words, is it always 100% on the developer as far as the additional expense, or is it the shared percent, or
it's not always 100%.
Just depends on the scenario. It just depends.
A lot of it depends. It really does depend. So, at a minimum, we do a prorated share. So it's what is your the trips that you're generating as the new land use to the problem, and then there is a certain background traffic that one would say, well, that's DLDOT's responsibility. They should be picking up the cost of the that those trips are causing, and then we pay our fair share is just what we're proposing. In some cases that works, in some cases it doesn't, because the improvement is needed, and they need to if the land use proposal is to go forward, then they need to mitigate it.
Very good.
More questions of council?
Is all the gas fund gas taxes, is that all going back into the fund, or is that partly going into the general fund?
Now, all the fuel tax goes into the Transportation Trust Fund.
All the, every bit of the tax now is going back?
Correct.
I know you don't make the regulations, so I can't blame you.
You can blame me if you want.
I'm not really. I mean, if we want to be honest about it, yeah. I see here where they raise the fees on some of these vehicles and type of things, mm-hmm. and people are now going to other states and like trucks and things like
mm-mm. that. I totally disagree with you. I can't disagree with you more on that. We still, even at 4.25% dock fee, we're still 1.5% lower than any of our surrounding states. The only issue that we have is the main trailers, right. which we're working with legislators and state police on a very interesting solution to that.
Yeah, it's, well, I know the main and those places are tagging all the trailers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, that's the only issue we have with other states.
And of course, that's not the real tags. That's not the real expense. Anyhow, it's on the tractor, really goes to the trash, just small tag. But anyway.
But still, that's money not coming into the trust fund.
We're going to ride away the extra money we thought we'd taken in. Of course, you don't have to do that. I know it's a legislative thing. But all our gas tax and all of our fees, motor vehicle department, everything is all now going back into transportation fund.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's about time. Thank you. Oh, one more real quick question. How much do you think it costs? What's it cost roughly a mile to put down blacktop on back roads?
Blacktop on back roads?
Yes, on a
secondary road.
You're not talking about tar and chip. You're just talking about.
Pardon?
You're not talking tar and chip. You're talking blacktop, right?
Go to blacktop. Tar and chip's going out of style.
Unofficially, we're saying $200,000 to $250,000 a mile.
So $1 million doesn't go very far.
No, sir.
I was just thinking, you just talking about millions up there, and they're not going too far.
Well, they're going farther than.
Oh, absolutely. We need
without them.
It needs to be done.
Well, and again, that's why we doubled the pave and rehab program.
Any questions from council?
Just a comment, Mr. President. I, again, just want to thank you, and I look forward to continued
absolutely.
Communications because I know that's what we all desire for sure.
Great, and happy to be here and happy to come back as often and report on the progress and just hope that, you know, you guys are as open-minded and continue to tout the partnership.
It's good to see you.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure we are all very open-minded.
Yes.
Right, Sam?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
To Sam and I, but thank you very much, Mr. Secretary, for coming down.
Thank you all.
It's something we should have done a long time before now, I'm sure.
I do believe there's a west side as well as east side.
Oh, please.
Some people in this county think it's on the east side.
But it needs